Today, my dear faithful, is the feast of the ascension of our Lord into heaven. And the epistle is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, the first chapter. The former treatise I made, O Theophilus, of all things which Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day on which, giving commandments by the Holy Ghost to the apostles whom he had chosen, he was taken up, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs, for 40 days appearing to them and speaking of the kingdom of God. And eating together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but should wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard, saith he, by my mouth. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. They therefore who were come together asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? But he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or moments which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had said these things, while they looked on, he was raised up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were beholding him going up to heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white garments, who also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come as you have seen him going into heaven. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 16. At that time, as the 11 were at table, Jesus appeared to them, and he upbraided them with their incredulity and hardness of heart, because they did not believe them who had seen him after he was risen again. And he said to them, Go ye into the whole world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. And the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God. But they, going forth, preached everywhere, the Lord working withal, and confirming the word with signs that followed. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. The Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, my dear faithful, so long ago, the apostles stood atop the Mountain of Olives as they watched our Lord ascend into heaven. The risen Savior, full of light and glory, held his hands out in blessing as he rose into the air up into heaven. He ascended above them, the apostles knew, so that he could finally take his rightful place at the right hand of the Father. After a time, a cloud blocked our Lord from their view, yet the apostles still stood there staring up to heaven, hoping for one last glorious glimpse. They stood there silently, filled with joy, wonder, and exultation that their Lord, their divine Savior, their friend, should receive such honor. We can only imagine what it must have been like in heaven at that moment when Jesus Christ, hidden from his apostles by the clouds, entered the gates of his eternal kingdom. Following behind our Savior, all the saints of the Old Testament formed his retinue of attendants. Abraham, Adam, Noah, Moses, David, all the saintly prophets and judges, the great names of the Old Testament, as well as St. Joseph and St. John the Baptist of the New Testament, all those who had saved their souls were there. To welcome them, a myriad of angels without number must have lined the way into heaven. The voices of the saints and angels would have been united in a jubilant song of glory. Adoring cries of Hosanna to the Son of David probably rang out. Their voices sang out in jubilant songs of praise to the God-man. All were filled with an ecstasy of joy to behold our Lord in glory, for in heaven he would have been finally able to show his full glory. A light brighter than the sun enveloped him, a light that no eye could look upon on earth. But only those of heaven could behold without being struck blind and even dying at the sight from this awesome brilliance. The procession continued right up to the throne of God the Father. Jesus Christ took his rightful place upon his throne at the right hand of God the Father. That is to say, the God-man after God has the highest place in heaven. At that moment, then, the glorious King of Kings, the resplendent God-man, came into his kingdom. All the blessed, both angels and saints, bowed down before him to adore, to thank, and also to pray to the King of Kings. They prayed especially for all those who were still fighting the good fight here on earth. For they knew that our Lord's mind and heart were still set upon us on earth still. And that is why, even after his ascension, still he does descend back to earth. Through the consecration at Mass, Jesus Christ dwells amongst men again, body and blood, soul and divinity, hidden under the appearances of bread and wine. He hides himself under these appearances of our daily necessities of food and drink. He longs to be received by us in Holy Communion. And the reason? Jesus Christ longs to come to us in the Blessed Sacrament in order to take up his rightful throne in our own hearts. Our hearts, our souls, our very being all belong to him, as he is the Creator. All things were created by him out of nothing, and so all things belong to him, just as a kingdom belongs to the King. Furthermore, Jesus Christ is the King over all men, for he redeemed the souls of men by shedding his most precious blood for them. In justice, then, we belong to him as his subjects, for he is our Redeemer, and he bought our souls at such a steep price. In justice, then, he has a right to rule over us. But simply commanding us is not what he desires. He longs to win our hearts to him. He goes so far as to come to us in Holy Communion to do exactly that. He teaches us our ignorance. He teaches our ignorance of mysteries of faith, of his divine law, and of his infinite glory, sanctity, and goodness. He strengthens our weakness to follow that same divine law. For each of us have our temptations to overcome, particular faults to fight against, weaknesses of our character to correct. And God's grace is absolutely necessary for us to win this victory. And all this glory and grace, our Savior seeks to give us by Holy Communion. But we must make ourselves receptive to receive these gifts. In his decree on daily communion, Pope St. Pius X gave two essential requirements for a good communion. The first requirement is, of course, sanctifying grace. We can do no supernatural good nor earn any grace without being in the state of grace. The second requirement is a devout and pious intention. This means a person receiving Holy Communion should not receive it out of routine or merely because others do. These are merely natural motives, completely unworthy of this supernatural sacrament. Instead, we should receive this sacrament because we seek something supernatural, that is, union with our divine Savior. Those are the two most basic requirements for a worthy reception of Holy Communion. But to make the most of it, we should do three things, as St. Alphonsus de Liguori, a doctor of the Church, explains in his book on the Holy Eucharist. First, drive out distractions and turn your mind to the real presence of our Lord there in your heart. Recall that this is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, hidden under the appearance of the host. This is the King of Kings, come to rest in your heart. This is he whom myriads of angels and all the saints of all time are bowed low before right now and for all eternity, pouring forth all they have and are in adoration before him. This is who has come to you in Holy Communion. And as theologians tell us, he will remain with you for 15 minutes. Our Lord dwells in the Blessed Sacrament as long as the appearances of bread and wine remain. It ordinarily takes only 15 minutes before the bread begins to break down, and thus that is how, roughly, how long the King of Kings will remain with you in Holy Communion. Do not then let yourself be distracted, and instead turn to him, as St. Alphonsus tells us, to pray to the King of Kings. Welcome him into your heart and tell your God of your love for him. And then ask him for the graces you need. St. Teresa of Avila says that after communion, our Lord places himself in the soul as on a throne of grace. To each of us, he asks, what willest thou that I should do for you? The Sacred Heart is so filled with joy at dwelling in your soul that whatever grace you ask of him, it will be given to you. Our prayers after communion are far more precious and meritorious in the sight of God than when made at another time because of this close union with our Savior. St. Alphonsus explains that this is because our Lord has come for the express purpose of granting the graces you need. Ask him what you will, and as much as you will, and you shall receive all. Pray to the King of Kings for the strength you need to overcome temptation. Beg him for the grace you need to live your life for love of him, for the grace you need to practice charity, to be more patient in trials and difficulties, to be pure according to your state in life. Have confidence, and he will bless you with many graces, especially the grace of final perseverance. With prayers like this, my dear faithful, you can gain such profit from Holy Communion. Make use of this time. It is a great gift, made even more precious in our day by its scarcity. So few today have that chance to receive our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. You have that chance, and make use of these precious 15 minutes. Push away distractions while the all-powerful God dwells in your heart. Thank him for his visit to you, and do not forget to ask for graces. Pray to him for the graces you need or for whatever intention you choose. Remember, he has descended to earth again and has taken up his throne in your heart. The King of Kings is at that moment your most intimate guest. give him those 50 minutes as far as you are able. Be generous with him, and he will never be outdone in generosity to you. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.